Okay, I'm going to call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order and let the record reflect that the time is currently 1:33 p.m. on Friday, February 14th, 2020. And present today, we've got Representative Knopp, Representative LeBon, Representative Tilton, Representative Carpenter, Vice Chair Ortiz, Co-Chair Johnston, Representative Sullivan Leonard, Representative Josephson, Representative Wool is excused, Representative Merrick, and myself, Co-Chair Foster. Just a reminder, if folks can mute their cell phones. And this afternoon, we'll be hearing public testimony on House Bill 234, which is the FY20, Fiscal Year 20 Supplemental. And before we get started, I'd like to remind the public that, I don't think we've got that many folks who are testifying at this point. We could shoot for 2 minutes, but if folks go a little over, that's fine. And if you are unable to call in to testify, or if you're not able to come here in person and testify, written testimony can also be submitted, and that can be sent to housefinance@akleg.gov. Again, testimony can be emailed to us at housefinance@akleg.gov. And so with that, I'll go ahead and open up public testimony on HB 234. And our first testifier, I'll go to the room here first. Looks like we've got Niels Andreessen with AML. If you could come up and put yourself on the record.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Niels Andreessen. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Municipal League, and thank the committee for this opportunity to provide testimony in relation to the supplemental budget. I'll try to do 2 minutes, maybe seven.
Go over.
So really appreciative of the content of what's currently in the supplemental budget, and appreciate that the governor has included what he has. Our members, though, have identified three priorities that currently aren't in the supplemental, but that we believe should be. In brief, community assistance, recapitalization, school bond debt reimbursement, and the ferry system. When it comes to community assistance, the recapitalization of $30 million was vetoed from this bill. From the FY20 budget, and the result of that is that the FY21 payment will be reduced by $10 million on July 1st. And it'll mean very different things for different communities, but it will have an impact for every community in the state. And I can say that for the interior, that means $1.6 less for local governments. For Anchorage, that's $4.1 million less. For the MATSU, that's $1.7 million less. For the Northwest and Western regions, that's just over around $600,000. So the effects are widespread, and they directly impact local government's ability to meet the needs of residents and provide services that the state of Alaska currently doesn't. And we believe that this is a fundamental element that is missing within the supplemental budget and should be addressed at this time. Second, and again related to a reduction in the FY21 budget, the school bond debt reimbursement. You know, I was here last year in front of this committee when a committee member said that a debt is a debt. Unfortunately, they weren't talking about school bond debt reimbursement. And the reduction of school bond debt reimbursement and not fulfilling that obligation means that for local governments, they are challenged to figure out how to repay what they thought was the state's responsibility. And they're approaching that in a multitude of different ways. For some, they're paying from maintenance funds, which means that schools aren't being maintained in a lot of instances. There's less funding available for school major maintenance, which in this year's budget has $0 attached to it. So you're seeing this erosion of ability of local governments to be able to respond to school bond debt reimbursement. Some shifted funds from other pots of funding that they had. So they've moved things around. They've reduced where they could. Others have increased property taxes. And we know that at least the municipality of Anchorage has talked about that as part of their upcoming budget process. So I would reiterate what was said last year. A debt is a debt, and we encourage this body to include school bond debt reimbursement as fully funded for FY20. Finally, and this is my last point, and I know time is sensitive, but for the Alaska Marine Highway System, it's been the topic of conversation in this building since session began in this year. AML has said that we're committed both to long-term sustainability and changes within the system, but also we have to respond to our members' sense of urgency and the need that they're feeling right now. Residents are without groceries, fuel isn't coming in, freight isn't coming in, freight isn't going out, economies are being stifled, livelihoods are ultimately being ruined. We've had professional teachers talked about as leaving communities because lack of access, lack of opportunity to move around. And communities are really struggling right now. I understand that the department is looking at short-term solutions while the entire fleet is out of order. But communities are trying to fill the gap in the meantime. We've had municipalities charter boats that they hadn't budgeted for. We have many more considering this since there's not going to be service for a few more months. And tourism and fisheries and basically a lot of the economies that they depend on are just around the corner. And so municipalities are looking at new options. And I would present to this committee that within the supplemental budget, it's not out of order to request an appropriation of something like $1 million. To reimburse municipalities for the work that they're undertaking when the department's not able to, and to fill the gap as long as service isn't maintained in line with the department's original intent with this year's budget. So none of these are idle requests. I know that this year's budget is that things remain tight and are tighter still. Given the scale of the supplemental. But these are real needs being felt by local governments and communities, not just residents, but businesses across the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions, Representative LeBon?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Has AML taken a position regarding the PFD program or a broad-based tax of any kind?
Through the Chair, Representative LeBon, we have not taken a position on the PFD program apart from requesting the legislature to address it in some fashion and come to agreement. We have passed a resolution in support of a broad-based tax with a preference for an income tax, but we're open to discussing a sales tax with this body.
Further questions? Thank you very much, Mr. Andreessen. Next up in Fairbanks, we have Jim Williams. Jim, if you're there, if you could put yourself on the record, your name and your affiliation.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, committee. My name is Jim Williams. I'm the Chief of Staff for the Fairbanks North Star Borough to Mayor Bryce Ward, and he wishes he could be here this afternoon. So real quick, I don't know if, in the interest of time, I don't think I need to add on too much more to what Nils just relayed to you, but I can speak to some impacts that we're kind of seeing here, and our ask is if you could reconsider in this appropriation looking at the community assistance program and finding a way to and fill that fund back up. Loss of community assistance dollars across the state is having an impact, but in Fairbanks, you know, every little bit helps. An additional thing to what Nils was saying, we had a pretty good year here in Fairbanks this year with economic development, and we saw property values actually increase. We saw increases in construction. We saw increases in commercial construction, and net assessed values appear to be pretty darn good this year, so we're pretty proud of that. But the problem is state-required property tax exemptions have eroded just about every nickel of that out of our tax base. So a little help trying to recover from that would be super nice. We still have debts that we need to pay on school construction loan, bond debt reimbursement. No, those don't go away. I'll defer to the committee if they have any questions. I'm done.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Does the committee have any questions? And I see no questions, so thank you for your testimony. We're going to move over to the Anchorage LIO. We've got Charles McKee. Charles, if you're there, if you could put yourself on the record.
Yes, I had already pre-filed the documentation. I submitted the UCC filing as to me being the beneficiary. I'm the secured party, the beneficiary. And then also turned in a notarized signature as to me being the beneficiary to the Sester K Trust that you people are the trustees of. So my name, again, is the beneficiary of the secure, I'm the secured party, the beneficiary, Charles S. McKee. And that's why I sent in the business license, mining business license, and put a notation there that they made a mistake in their printing, the owned by, all cap, Charles S. McKee. And so that's a legal fiction. It's supposed to be the beneficiary, the living, breathing person, citizen. So there's a misnomer in your appropriations. There's a lack of accountability to the trust credit trust transfer when you go to court and ask you to testify, to speak your name after swearing in, and you don't sign, you don't give them your signed notarized statement as to who you are, but speak it, you automatically spoken the all cap name. You've just taken liability from the trustees, which is the state of Alaska administration, and put it on yourself.
Mr. McKee?
So they can transfer credit out of your trust account. And I might add, I'm under oath from September the 30th, because you can look and I'm on court review. I have a charge.
And Mr. McKee, we have the supplemental budget items before us that were proposed by the governor.
I'm talking about the court, the lack of.
Mr. McKee, are you still there?
Okay, now what I'm trying to say is the supplemental budget.
Correct.
Doesn't reflect the transfer of credit from the trust accounts of the individuals into the court system and transfers into the Bar Association to the Municipal Treasury. It's a transfer, so there's credit, i.e. money, not being accounted for, going, it doesn't go into the general fund. And it's dark money. And it's a constructive larceny. And I'm only trying to point out the fact that I'm under oath by way of the court. I'm bonded by this corporation called AS point 45.77.020. I'm on my own OR and facing this charge, and it was all provocated by my whistleblowing against the current administration in April the 24th. Bert Stedman was the senator hearing the bill, and I prevented, likewise, the theft of credit from these individual communities in their credit account. So,
Mr. McKee, did you?
It was all attempted to transfer credit liability
Mr.
from one beneficiary to the trustees. The trustees wanted to extract money out of their credit account.
Mr. McKee, did you say that you submitted your testimony via email as well?
Yeah, all of this is information I turned in, yes.
Okay,
City
thank you.
It. I stopped them from doing the sales tax on the public because of what I submitted. I turned in the same information to the Alaska Regulatory Commission.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. McKee. We've got to move on to the next person here. But thank you for your testimony, and we'll make sure that your testimony is in the record. Let's move over to the off-nets here. We've got Chris Eichenlaub. Chris, if you're there, if you could put yourself on the record.
Hi, this is Chris Eichenlaub, and I'm testifying on behalf of myself. And can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you just fine. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, I think biggest problem I have here is we're widening our spending gap, and why are we mismanaging our resources? Our CRB is almost depleted. Why? Poor choices and bad decisions. Why? The people's voices are not being heard, or maybe just not, or maybe we're just being ignored. You know, much like our ex-Governor Walker unilaterally expanded Medicare without the people's consent. Now we're on the hook for billions for the foreseeable future. That's not the way it's supposed to work. And, you know, we passed SB 91, the Hug-a-Thug Bill, and SB 26, PFD Grabber Bill, against the wishes of the people, once again. So it's perceived that our voices have been stifled by special interests. We need to curb our spending addiction, okay? Binding caucus through perceived bribery, coercion, subversion, extortion seems to be running our government like a schoolyard bully shaking down folks for lunch money, or PFDs with the promise of an apple for lunch if you cooperate. We need solutions. Not paying your electric bill is not a solution, just like not paying the PFD is not a budget solution. It's just a money grab and doesn't solve anything. Solution. You know, let's repeal SB 26 so we get the confusion out of the way. You know, the last 5 years, most of the work y'all been doing was created by the bills that you passed. You know, through, you know, twisting of arms or whatever it took. Because a lot of the lawmakers I talked to, I said, well, why did you vote for this? Well, you know, it was a bad move. I shouldn't have done it. And, you know, well, no, when it comes right down to it, they had to do it because they were going to lose a chairmanship or a committee membership because, you know, the wrong person got irritated because they didn't go along with the flow. That's the perception of the public right now. And, if anyone has any other questions on this, you know, if you want me to elaborate some more, I will, but fire away, there you have it.
Thank you, Mr. Eichenlaub. Do we have any questions of the committee? And I don't see any, so thank you for your testimony. We're going to move over to Valerie Therrien from Fairbanks. If you're there, if you could put yourself on the record.
This is Valerie Therrien. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chair and members of the Finance Committee, my name is Valerie Therrien, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Fairbanks City Council. And we are also asking that the Community Assistance Program be recapitalized. For example, our city of Fairbanks will be reduced from $688,000 to $79,000, which would be a reduction of over $608,000. And this is a hit that we just can't absorb at the city. I introduced a resolution 4902, which was sent to the Interior Delegation. And if the other members of the committee would like, I could have our clerk send that resolution to you.
Please do.
Okay. And if there's any questions, I would be glad to answer them.
Do Chair, have any questions for me?
We're on a very tight budget, and we were really counting on this money to make ends meet.
And can you repeat one more time, how much were you expecting?
We were estimating $688,552, and that's what we got in fiscal year 20. And in fiscal year 21, we would only receive $79,684, which is a very significant drop.
Do we have any questions from the committee? We might need to the drop that you are stating. I think we might have to have somebody get back to you with Ledge Finance just to verify that number so we'll have somebody reach out to you, Ms. Therrien.
Very good.
Great. I don't see any questions. So with that, thank you for your testimony. Next, we've got Walt Weller. If you could put yourself on the record. Mr. Weller from Pelican.
Yes, this is Walt Weller from Pelican. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can hear you great. If you could put yourself on the record.
Okay, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Walt Weller. I'm from the city of Pelican, and I'm representing the city of Pelican as mayor. The residents of Pelican are waiting to hear about some realistic short-term services solution from the state while the AMHS is reformulated. The loss of the ferry has adversely affected every industry and household that's now denied service. And I need to know if Pelican will be included in any of the temporary contracted services. I know there are businesses out there willing to offer competitive solutions for temporary ferry service. The state needs to make these short-term contracting decisions immediately, or there'll be long-term damage done to all the areas previously served by the AMHS. If there's no transportation available for the summer fishing, construction, and tourism season, I'm hoping the supplemental appropriations bill addresses this, and I was calling in mainly to put in a reminder about that. Thank you very much for your time and efforts, and good luck.
Thank you, Mayor Weller. Do we have any questions? I see no questions of the committee. I see we also have there in Pelican Norm Carson. If you could also state your name and your affiliation. Mr. Carson?
Hello, this is Norm Carson from Pelican. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, Norm Carson, I'm president of our Chamber of Commerce in Pelican, Alaska. I just listened to Mayor Weller. On behalf of the chamber, I support 100% what he testified to. I'll also add a little bit. My wife and I have also submitted a letter to Senate Finance requesting a realignment of the PFD, and I'd like to see a cap on the PFD of about $1,000 and a forget the $3,000 repayment. That's gone and over with. We don't need to further put ourselves in debt. Anyway, that's what I've got, and thank you.
Thank you. We've got a question from Representative Ortiz.
Mr. Carson, thank you for your testimony today. Can you tell me, in terms of the city of Pelican, after the budget reduction that went forward for the Marine Highway System in this particular fiscal year, how much reduced services was seen in Pelican as a result of that reduction? And of course, now you have no services because of the breakdown of the system. But how much of a reduction in service did you see after the implementation of this year's budget?
Once the budget was limited, we had zero service. We haven't seen a ferry since October.
Thank you for that. Appreciate that, knowing that. Thank you.
And seeing no further questions, thank you for your testimony, Mr. Carson. Next, we've got Herman Morgan in ENIAC. Mr. Morgan?
Hello, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'd like to make some comments on the budget. And, we've never had ferry service out here. We're off the road system, and we get along fine, you know, and maybe there's a way you could reduce the cost. And we heard you should change this to a real public hearing where these officials from municipalities, you know, they get to testify and you guys are ready to ask some questions. But you never ask questions to the public. How come you guys didn't want revenue sharing? Why don't you go back to that? You know, I'm calling from rural Alaska, you know, we're hit the hardest by taking away our permanent fund, you know. Because all of us used to buy heating fuel, and our kids used to put money away for college. Now we can't. They can't. And yet you guys go through $14 billion, and you guys want more? You know, this Medicaid expansion, it already cost $2.4 billion just to start it up. And they're right now they're recruiting more. It's going to cost $10 billion. And how are you going to afford that? Alaska can't afford universal health care. You guys need to work with the government to find a way to lower the health cost. It's not going to work. It's going to bankrupt the state. And also this education lobby, you know, we still have the lowest test scores in the nation. And most of that money, a lot of money is going to superintendents and principals and over 100 of them that make $200,000, you know. Something's not right to keep giving all this money and see no improvement. And UAA, too, they're not even putting out qualified teachers in Anchorage. Or when they're going to start doing that. And yet they want more and more of our money. Something's very wrong here, you guys. Right now, we're being threatened, our people. We say, if you don't give them your permanent fund, they're going to do away with the power cost assistance. That's extortion. You guys can afford to give us our permanent fund. We need it. A family of five would get $15,000. They'd be able to buy a snow machine and boat, motor, and fuel for the winter, you know. I don't know who's putting you guys' strings, but you guys are making a big mistake. You're spending and spending and spending and not even making any budget cuts. It's not fair. It's not fair to Alaskans. That permanent fund money, it belongs to the people. Because, you know, they took away our mineral rights, you know, and you guys are taking away and spending it. And you only, this is like they all pre-planned, these AML and other people, and they rip and call and tell us how much you need that money. And you guys rip and ask them questions, like really loving questions. What about the Alaskans, the 25,000 who are driven below a poverty level? They say, well, we can... These nonprofits need them to help you guys. How does a few words from them help us to pay our bills and make a living out here? You guys got to really rethink what you're doing. This binding caucus, that guy was true. That's extortion. And we hear that bill that Senator Sauer put through to do without that. It's been buried under three committees. You got, there's something very wrong down there. It needs changing, but you guys are not representing Alaskans. You're representing special interests who go there and testify at these, like a sham, these public hearings. They're all pre-planned. You better go testify and we'll ask you loving questions. Think about us Alaskans out here in rural Alaska. We don't have no ferry. We've never had a ferry. You know, and you guys got to really think what you're doing, because people are getting fed up doing things they're doing. They're running down there. You're hurting Alaska. You're going to bankrupt Alaska with all the money you keep spending. Literally bankrupt Alaska. And those are my comments. You guys are going to start listening to the people, listen to the real people. Let these special interests who come to you and you guys tell them to testify. And we give you more money. That's not fair to Alaska. That permanent fund belongs to us. Start working with the governor. Work together. Don't listen to whoever's driving,
Mr. Morgan.
Driving your leaders in the caucus. Alaska is going down the drain, and you guys are spending money like crazy, not on fixing the real problems.
Mr. Morgan?
Those are my comments.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan. And also, just a reminder to everybody, they can also submit written testimony to House Finance.
Are you going to ask me a question? Are you going to ask me a question, too, like how you guys asked weather guys?
Mr. Morgan,
are you going to ask me that? How long have we never had first service? Anybody ask? Anybody bother to ask me that?
We're going to move to allowing questions here in a moment. I just want to remind folks that they can submit public testimony at housefinance@akleg.gov. Again, that's housefinance@akleg.gov. Are there any questions for Mr. Morgan? And I don't see any questions. So with that, thank you for your testimony, Mr. Morgan. We're going to move over to Tom Brond. Mr. Brond, if you could put yourself on the record.
This is Tom Brond from Sutton. What else do you want me to say?
Your affiliation?
I'm speaking for myself.
Okay, great. Thanks. And that's all.
A lot of fair play has failed in Alaska due to special interests and filling the legislature with some unscrupulous opportunists. And this binding caucus is what others have said. It's extortion so that the president of the Senate can decide how everybody's supposed to vote, which is against the Constitution. Special interests are not public. They should be testifying separately from the public. Taking the PFD is a violation of existing law to take our inheritance from equal sharing of mineral rights and violates both the Alaska and U.S. constitutions. The Alaska Supreme Court was wrong in saying Governor Walker legally did that. It was illegal because it violated our rights. When it comes to state income taxes, they are also illegal. You can't make a law to take what's ours because it circumvents the due process and violates multiple laws. I think that's about it.
Thank you, Mr. Brond.
One more thing, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I have a question for anybody who wants to answer it. What did they do before there was a ferry? That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Brond. I don't see anybody. Typically, this would be our taking public testimony, but if folks would like to jump in, I certainly am okay with that. Okay. I don't see anybody jumping at that. But with that, are there any comments or questions from the committee? I don't see any. So thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Brond.
Thank you.
I'd like to remind folks that if they'd like to submit public testimony, they can do so by submitting an email to House Finance, no spaces, housefinance@akleg.gov. And with that, is there anybody else in the room who'd like to testify? Seeing none, I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. And is there anything else to come before the committee? I don't see any. So with that, our next meeting is scheduled for Monday, February 17th at 1:30 p.m. And at that meeting, we'll be taking up the subcommittee closeout reports. Staff will be reading the reports from each subcommittee. And with that, we'll be adjourned at 2:06 p.m. And thank you.